Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. Today is the feast day of St. Columba. He was born in 521 and died in 597. He was born in Donegal, Ireland, of royal descent, and he studied at Mobile under St. Finian. He became a priest at age 25 and spent the next 15 years preaching and setting up foundations at Derry, Durrow, and Niquelles. Possibly because of a family feud which resulted in the death of many, for which he considered himself partly responsible, he left Ireland and landed at the island of Iona off the coast of Scotland at the age of 42. There he built the monastery which was to become world famous. On St. Gabriel's Trumpet today, we're going to learn about a new homeschooling resource that's available in Columbus. We're going to find out about the Jubilee of Anniversaries Mass that Bishop Frederick Campbell will be celebrating at St. Joan of Arc Parish. And Bill Messerly has tracked down another transitional deacon, this time Nick Ventura from Lancaster St. Mary of the Assumption. But first, Adam and Lori Ubowski are the musical group Out of Darkness, and they will be leading an Exalt Praise and Worship with Eucharistic Adoration on Wednesday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at St. Timothy Church. A dinner will be served beforehand at 6 p.m., catered by Kane's Chicken. This is a family event that you will not want to miss. Trumpet correspondent Carrie Migowski spoke with Adam and Lori about their mission with their Catholic music ministry.
Joining us today are Lori and Adam Ubowski, who are the Catholic music guests Out of Darkness. They're joining us with a music ministry that will be performing with an Exalt Worship and Adore at St. Timothy's Catholic Church on Wednesday, June 11th. Welcome to the Trumpet.
Hi there.
Hello.
So tell us, what is your mission with Out of Darkness?
Well, we, from a very young age, I would say, we both have been called to music ministry, and we met in college, studying music, and then became engaged and married and started our family. We had the opportunity to work at two parishes in music, directing music. And with our ministry, it just became a way for us to minister together and really just to bring that calling to spread the gospel through music to as many people in as many walks of life as possible. And it also was a way for Adam to share his music that he's been writing, and maybe he could talk a little more about that.
Yeah, definitely. The mission of Out of Darkness is, you know, definitely just letting our light shine out and just bringing the good news and the light of Jesus out to the world. And if we can do that with, you know, humbly with what we have to bring, then we're so blessed by that.
So is your music more like praise and worship?
I would say our original music is definitely worship and a little bit of a rock feel sometimes, and then we're varied. We have a song on our new album that kind of lends itself to a hymn style, a little bit of big band. So
try not to get stuck in one hole. We try and do a little bit of everything.
We're a cornucopia of musical styles.
Very cool. So when you're doing some of these praise and worship events, how do you see our music ministry changing with our culture, especially with the Catholic and Christian praise and worship?
Well, for a very universal church, the music is, I think, equally vast as far as the church's preference and style. And but we've noticed lately in our ministry, and especially to youth and young adults and families, it seems like there's this deep appreciation for bringing back some of the classics and the traditional music, but also introducing music to them that's Catholic in nature, but is also the style of what they would hear, maybe what they're listening to on secular radio, or, you know, just what they're listening to with their friends, but, you know, putting a religious undertone to that.
And where can someone learn more about your music ministry and hear some more of your music?
Yeah, if anybody's interested, they can check out our website at outofdarknessmusic.com. And we're on iTunes and all the, you know, applicable social media forums like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So any of those places, you know, we'd love to connect with people and get in touch and have them be a part of our journey.
We look forward to seeing Lori and Adam Ubowski with Out of Darkness Music Ministry at St. Timothy Catholic Church on Wednesday, June 11th with Father Tim Hayes, with a free dinner from 6 to 7 o'clock and then hearing them play from 7 to 8:30. Thank you, Lori and Adam, for joining us today and can't wait to hear you on Wednesday.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you so much. We can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you too. God bless.
For more information on the music ministry of Lori and Adam Ubowski, please visit outofdarknessmusic.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 5 minutes past the hour. On May 2nd, Bishop Frederick Campbell ordained 5 new diocesan transitional deacons. They are Deacon Tony Davis from St. Joseph in Dover, Deacon Tom Gardner from St. Catherine, Deacon Michael Hartke from St. Matthew, Deacon Brian O'Connor from Seton Parish, and Deacon Nick Ventura from Lancaster St. Mary the Assumption. Each will be working within a parish this summer and will be entering their last year in the seminary with the hopes of being ordained next May. Our own Bill Messersley sat down with newly ordained Deacon Nick Ventura and spoke about his ordination to the transitional diaconate and his vocation story.
So, Deacon Nick Ventura, how does it feel to be an ordained deacon?
It feels great. Words can't describe exactly what you go through once you're ordained. It's, that was the happiest day of my life on May 2nd in 2014. I couldn't describe anything better than just great.
And so you're a new transitional deacon, and how is a transitional deacon different than a permanent deacon?
Well, there is no difference in the diaconate itself. We're both all deacons together, transitional and permanent deacons, but the focus of the transitional diaconate is more towards the priesthood, and the diaconate is the foundation of service for the priest to always remember when he is serving the people of God. So it is oriented that way, while permanent deacon is always oriented towards service, but will not be ordained a priest down the road. But a transitional deacon always has that mindset thinking, okay, this is where I learned how to do it and apply it when I'm serving the people of God.
And as a priest, you'll be ordained, God willing, when?
God willing, in next May in 2015, towards the end of May, probably. We've received two different dates, but I think it's supposed to be May 30th, but stay tuned.
You're listening to one of our newest transitional deacons in the Diocese of Columbus, Deacon Nick Ventura. He was ordained to the diaconate on May 2nd by Bishop Frederick Campbell. So tell us a little bit about your vocation story. When did it start?
Well, it started when I was just a little kid, really. I was in first grade. I remember my teacher asked, Sister Nadine Buchanan was reading us a story, and then all of a sudden she stopped reading and said, boys and girls, some of the boys in here, when they grow up, will be priests. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, that could be me one day. And just as I grew up, you know, kind of waffled back and forth, thinking about, yeah, celibacy, and then thinking, oh, no, girls are more interesting. I don't really want to be a celibate man. I want to be married and have a family. But what it really came down to, and it really just kind of solidified these last couple years of seminary, is what am I made for? What did God put me here for? And just being able to enter into people's lives has been one of the greatest joys over the last couple of weeks. And it's what God has made me for. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And eventually, in high school, that's when I really started seriously discerning, really started praying about it. And then it wasn't until after my first year in college that I entered seminary as a sophomore in college to finish my undergrad at the Pontifical College Josephinum.
So you had the call to the priesthood, but who was encouraging you during those high school years to enter deeper and to pray about what God was truly calling you to?
Well, there were many, many different priests in my life that really just gave a great example, a great witness to priesthood. Immediately what comes to mind is my pastor growing up, Father Don Franks. It was his joy and zeal for Jesus Christ really made me look at the priesthood seriously, like, wow, someone can be a priest and joyful. And as I came to learn is that, like, no, a priest should be joyful, full of joy to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the other countless other priests, Father Wilson, who was an associate at St. Mary's, and just all the priests that were in Lancaster at the time when I was growing up. And my parents and my family have been probably the biggest support close to home, always, maybe not always understanding what's going on, but being there to support me. And I always try to encourage other people who may have a son who has a vocation, encourage them. They can't do this without their parents. They can't. It's almost next to impossible unless they have that support.
So what would you, Deacon Nick Ventura, say to a young man that's considering the priesthood?
Pray. Pray, pray, pray. It's, you can't do this without God's direction and help. And sometimes all it takes is just that little inclination to look into it. It's little signs. There's not going to be in a billboard sign on 70 or 315 or any of the major highways here in town that's going to say, you need to be a priest. It's going to be those little signs that God puts in your life that points to that sacrifice on the altar. What motivates you? What motivates you about your faith? Is it raising a family, or is it seeing new life come from baptism, or seeing people become alive with Jesus Christ?
And the question that you said you had to answer is, what did God make you for? And you've really been affirmed in that since you've been in the diaconate these last few weeks. And talk a little bit about that affirmation, entering other people's lives.
It really has been that first weekend as a deacon where I only served at one mass. It was at my home parish where I preached for the first time on that Sunday. And it was just being able to walk into people's lives, being welcomed with complete strangers. I mean, I like to say I do know a lot of people in my home parish, but there's some people who I'm just not entirely familiar with. But just being immediately brought into their lives and talking to them and seeing where has Jesus led them. And I don't know. I mean, I'm trying my best to describe it, but it's this sense of fulfillment, peace. I mean, the word that I've been meditating on a lot is peace. It's not like a everything's okay kind of peace, but the peace that says, all right, this is what you're supposed to do. It may not be easy, but there's fulfillment. There's a purpose, and the Lord Jesus is with me in all of that.
So the priesthood for you is not a vocation of isolation.
Correct. It's not. It's, I mean, there is solitude. Now, don't be misled. The priesthood has a lot of solitude in it, but solitude with the Lord. It's not a life of loneliness. It's a life of solitude, but oriented towards the body of Christ and leading people to Christ.
You're listening to our new transitional deacon for the Diocese of Columbus, Deacon Nick Ventura, who's working at his home parish this summer, St. Mary's of the Assumption Parish in Lancaster. How does it feel to serve back in Lancaster?
It's wonderful seeing the people that I actually grew up with. I had the opportunity to baptize three children a couple weeks ago, and some of them were children of people I grew up with, and just being able to baptize them and see that new life starting there was probably, I'll never forget their names, Nathan, Sophia, and Elizabeth. It's always going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And just being there in Lancaster and knowing the people has really helped, because now I can just really enter into ministry.
Well, thank you, Deacon Nick Ventura, one of our newest deacons here in the Diocese of Columbus. St. Gabriel Radio and our family of listeners wish you the greatest joy in your new vocation, and we want to support you going forward, so let us know how we can help you.
Thank you very much. Just mostly prayers. Pray for all the seminarians. We need that more than anything.
Our newly ordained deacons will be busy this summer. Deacon Tony Davis will serve at St. Joseph Cathedral. Deacon Tom Gardner at St. Paul the Apostle in Westerville. Deacon Michael Harkey will serve at his home parish, St. Matthew, as will Deacon Brian O'Connor, who will serve at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And Deacon Nick Ventura, as you just heard, will be serving at his home parish at Lancaster St. Mary the Assumption. Let us pray and give thanks for our new transitional deacons, that they bring the charity of Christ to the heart of their diaconal life. Sue, I know summer's arrived, but that doesn't mean things are slowing down around here. What's going on?
There will be a Catholic Schoolhouse information meeting at Holy Family Catholic Church in the Undercroft at 584 West Broad Street, Columbus, on June 10th at 7 p.m., starting with a meet-and-greet session followed by an informational meeting and question-and-answer session until 9 p.m. Coming up in the Trumpet Show, we will hear more about this new resource for Catholic homeschoolers. St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, 139 North 5th Street in Zanesville, will have their parish festival June 12th to 14th, Thursday 5 to 11 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 5 p.m. to midnight. Columbus St. Christopher Church, 1420 Grandview Avenue, will host its annual celebration of the Feast of St. Anthony of Padua on Friday, June 13th, with Mass at 6 p.m. and food and refreshments at Trinity Elementary School afterward. Small loaves of bread, which are traditional for this feast, will be distributed during the refreshments in the school. For more information, call Pat Brown at 614-488-5893. St. Catherine of Siena Parish will host the Vatican International Exhibit, Eucharistic Miracles of the World, appropriately enough, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, June 22nd, from 9:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. in the Church Undercroft. For information, visit the parish website, stcatherine.com. Back to you, Chip.
Attention all married couples celebrating their 25th, 30th, 35th, 40th, 45th, 50th, 55th, 60th, and each year thereafter anniversary. The annual Jubilee of Anniversaries Mass will be held on Sunday, June 29th at St. Joan of Arc Parish, 10700 Liberty Road in Powell at 3 p.m. The Mass will be celebrated by Bishop Frederick Campbell, followed by an informal reception in your honor. Registration forms are available from the parish office, or you may call the Marriage and Family Life office at 614-241-2560 to register. A registration form may also be downloaded at the Family Life section of the diocesan website. Reservations for you and guests are necessary and must be received by Friday, June 13th. Kyle Tennant is a first-year seminarian from St. Monica Parish in New Boston, Ohio, studying at the Pontifical College Josephinum. He has been assigned to St. Joan of Arc Parish for the summer, and one of the many activities Kyle will be involved with is being the Master of Ceremonies for this Jubilee of Anniversaries. Carrie spoke with Kyle about the importance of honoring marriage and the details of the event.
Joining us today is Kyle Tennant, who is a seminarian from St. Monica Parish in New Boston, Ohio. We are very excited at St. Joan of Arc Parish because he will be assigned to our parish over the summer. And Kyle will be the Master of Ceremonies for the annual Jubilee of Anniversaries Mass held on June 29th, and the host parish is St. Joan of Arc Parish. So thank you for joining us today, Kyle, on the trumpet. And let's talk a little bit about why it's important to honor and recognize marriage.
Thank you very much for having me, Carrie. The love that a husband and wife share in marriage, you know, is a reflection of the love that Christ has for his church, and is a witness of that love to the world to show just how closely the two share life together. Of course, St. John Paul II also said that marriage is the fundamental building block of society, and stable marriages are critical for the church's mission of evangelization to the world.
And especially in today's day and age where we see so many marriages really struggling, I think this is a beautiful way of celebrating and giving honor to those couples that have had anniversaries such as 25, 30, up to 60 years, you know, in marriage.
Sure. So. My own parents will be celebrating their 40th anniversary this
Wonderful.
Year, so they're going to be in attendance.
Congratulations. That's beautiful. So as far as the event, can you give us some details on what is going to be taking place?
Sure. The Mass will be held on Sunday, June 29th, 2014, at St. Joan of Arc Parish at 10700 Liberty Road in Powell at 3 p.m. The Mass will be celebrated by Bishop Campbell. The anniversary couples will receive a certificate signed by the bishop. Those who have been married 50 or more years are going to be invited for a group photo with the bishop after the Mass. And then there's going to be a big, you know, reception in the parish hall to follow.
Okay. And as far as being Master of Ceremonies, what is going to be your job during the Mass? How are you going to be keeping everything in flow?
Well, as my brother seminarians know, the MC basically is in charge of keeping the flow of the liturgy smooth, making sure that things are in place when they need to be in place so that there's not a lot of pauses and interruptions. Especially serving with a bishop, the main thing is making sure that he has the mitre and the crozier at the appropriate times.
Okay. And does somebody have to register for this?
Sure. If you would like to register to attend, if you are celebrating your 25th, 30th, or 35th, on up through 60th, and then any year after 60th, you may go to the website familylife.colsdioc.org. That's colsdioc.org. and register with, it's the website for the Office of Family Life.
Well, we're very excited to be participating in the annual Jubilee of Anniversaries and also to have you here in Columbus, especially and particularly at St. Joan of Arc Parish.
It's going to be a great summer.
Yes. Thank you.
To register for the Jubilee of Anniversaries, please visit familylife.colsdioc.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Catholic Schoolhouse, a local homeschool program, is currently registering students for the 2014-15 academic year at Holy Family Catholic Church. More than an academic co-op, Catholic Schoolhouse is a structured program meeting weekly for homeschoolers that includes chorus, 2 hours of classroom instruction, science experiments, art projects, and opportunities for socializing after class. Please join them from 7 until 9 p.m. on June 10th at Holy Family Church Undercroft for an informational meeting or contact Teresa or Kimberly at cshcolumbus@gmail.com. Carrie spoke with Kimberly Wasson and Teresa Warren, co-directors of Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus, about the value of Catholic homeschooling and the new program initiative developing in Columbus.
Joining us today are Kimberly Wasson and Teresa Warren, who are part of a brand new organization called Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus. Welcome to the Trumpet, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie.
So together, you have over 30 years' experience of homeschooling your children. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Very true.
Let's talk a little bit about the value of Catholic homeschooling. Really, talking to other families, there is a specific Catholic model of classical education. And what is the value that you've seen over the years that you've seen with your children?
Wow. I know we've always strived to provide an environment where they can not only grow academically, but spiritually, and learn their faith, live their faith, and for our family most especially, to serve, to build the kingdom, you know, through their grandparents, through their parents, through their church, through their neighbors. And I've just seen them blossom into people that I'm very proud of. Not perfect. They're not perfect. But I'm very proud of, because they love God. They love their faith. And they're not afraid to. They're not afraid to find a stranger on the street and say, "Are you Catholic?" Mm-hmm. Well, why not? You know, because it's so beautiful. Mm. And I think that's a product of what I try to provide for them in their school.
And Kimberly?
Yeah, same here. We were actually having this not just in wonderful academics. There's no question that home education is a very viable and positively outstanding opportunity for learning. But that the faith and the Catholic culture that our children gain is superior to anything that they will find anywhere else. They are immersed on a daily basis in the truths of the faith. That is the one thing that we find difficult to duplicate anywhere else except in the home educating environment.
Mm-hmm. So you started this new group called Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus. Is this part of a national group?
It is. There's chapters all over the country. I've wanted to be involved with it for a couple of years, but the closest place we'd have to either drive to Indianapolis or Cincinnati, and that's not very easy with our, you know, doesn't help with our schedule. So that's why we looked into starting it ourselves, and we have a group of three moms who are like the three-strand cord, and we're going to, pray a lot and hopefully give a lot of glory to God, and this will grow.
So you're both parishioners at Holy Family.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's where some of these, you'll be actually meeting with this group at Holy Family Church?
At Holy Family.
Do you have some of the details for some of those dates?
Well, the dates for the program itself, we will be meeting every Monday. And the program begins on September the 8th, 2014. And we will meet from 8:45 in the morning until noon, where we will have a brief break. And then we will reconvene for classes for our older students, fourth grade and above, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. This will be with regular breaks here and there, extended breaks during Advent and Lent.
Are there age limits or different age groups for Catholic homeschooling, or is it really open for anybody?
Well, that's the beauty of this program, is that because both Teresa and I have so many children and our day is so valuable, we can't get any extra time. It's very necessary that whenever we leave our home, that we are able to incorporate a program for all of our children. Catholic Schoolhouse allows us to do that, having classes available at the grammar stage of the classical method for students pre-K through sixth grade, and also additional classical course offerings for all of the older students up to 12th grade, with also the additional classes in the afternoon for enrichment.
So being able to homeschool your kids from the, especially from the Catholic Foundation, it gives you a lot of flexibility then to kind of teach them, and they can learn throughout the day rather than it being so structured. And like you were talking about before, during that one particular window of time, even honing in on the day, you're able to teach them and bring in the Catholic faith and academia throughout the rest of the hours during the day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you see, as far as the future and the growth in the Columbus community, how many families do you think are doing Catholic homeschooling right now?
Oh, my.
Oh, I don't even know that we could encompass.
At least 200 or 300 that we know.
There are so many different groups. We have email loops. There are active groups that are engaged in educational and enrichment opportunities. And Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus will be just one more in many, many, many families who are engaged in just, it's not so much filling in the gaps, but offering the things, as Teresa and I always like to say, the fun stuff that mm-hmm. we really love to do with our kids. But sometimes when we get focused on our daily lives and the interruptions that take place, we cover our catechism, we get our academic lessons done, but there are wonderful opportunities for discussion that we want our children to have in arts and humanities and the classical method. And I truly believe that most home educators are classical educators at heart. They just do not realize that, and most do not have a method or a mode to implement it. This is what we're hoping to do with Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus.
So where can someone get more information on Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus?
Yes, if you search Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus, you will find us. There is also a national website, which is catholicschoolhouse.com. Our website is available from that site.
Okay, thank you, ladies, for joining us and giving us all this wonderful information that you have shared.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more information, you can search Catholic Schoolhouse Columbus online. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.